Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, David Snyder, CPA, High Country Rec Fee Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Northern Arizona Vein Center. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Q&A, the pre-holiday edition. Keep in mind, at this time tomorrow, we will air Jerry Stewart's very special, The Song of Freedom, nationally syndicast and broadcast right here on KQ&A. Now, today on Q&A, we're spotlighting the authors of all those great books we like to take along on our summer weekends and holidays and vacations. Well, today you'll hear my interviews with four of them, all on various bestseller lists of new books, including one perfectly timed for Frontier Days here in Prescott with the world's oldest rodeo, another perfectly timed if you'll be flying in and out of Sky Harbor this weekend or very soon. You'll hear in the next hour my very recent interviews with Julian Smith, the co-author with David Wolman of Aloha Rodeo, David Bell, who wrote Layover, that's going to resonate with every air traveler, also Natasha Scripture for her book Manfest, about how she finally quit living for the manhunt for a husband and went on a man fast, living a life to please herself. Then we'll close today with my interview with Lisa Brennan Jobs for her book Small Fry. And if that last name sounds a little familiar, this book is about growing up in the shadow of her extremely famous and accomplished father, the co-founder of Apple, Steve Jobs. Then to close the show today with the Prescott Elks Theater screening the movie Junior Bonner tonight, starting at 7 o'clock, you'll hear some interesting tidbits about the making of Junior Bonner, which happened right here in Prescott in 1972. That's today's Q&A. Stay tuned. We're going to open it up right away with the Aloha Rodeo book by Julian Smith. This is World's Oldest Rodeo Week and Frontier Days in the Prescott area. Well, Alpha Rodeo is the true story that takes place 111 years ago in August of 1908, where three unknown riders from Hawaii arrived in Cheyenne, Wyoming, their hats adorned with wildflowers, to compete in the world's greatest rodeo at that time, the Cheyenne Frontier Days. The name of the book is Aloha Rodeo. The authors are David Wolman and Julian Smith, steer roping virtuoso Aikua Purdy and his cousins Jack Lowe and Archie Kaua had traveled nearly 4,000 miles from Hawaii to test themselves against the toughest riders in the West. Dismissed by whites who considered themselves the only true cowboys, the native Hawaiians would astonish the country, returning home champions and American legends. Now, what few understood when the three Paniolo rode into Cheyenne is that the Hawaiians were no underdogs. They were the product of a deeply ingrained cattle culture twice as old as that of the Great Plains, for Hawaiians had been chasing cattle over the island's rugged volcanic slopes and through tropical forests since the late 1700s. Tracing the life story of Purdy and his cousins, author Wolman and Smith delve into the dual histories of ranching and cowboys in the islands and the meteoric rise and sudden fall of Cheyenne, the holy city of the cow. At the turn of the 20th century, larger-than-life personalities like Buffalo Bill Cody and Theodore Roosevelt capitalized on a national obsession with the Wild West. They helped transform Cheyenne's annual Frontier Day celebration into an unparalleled rodeo spectacle, the daddy of them all. The hopes of all Hawaii rode on the three riders' shoulders during those dusty days in August 1908. The U.S. had forcibly annexed the islands just a decade earlier. The young Hawaiians brought the pride of a people struggling to preserve their cultural identity and anxious about their future under the rule of overlords an ocean away. Their experiences and victory force us all to rethink what we think we know about cattle country and the Wild West. We have Julian Smith on the line. Mr. Smith, as the subtitle notes, your book explores a hidden history. How'd you first discover the story, What inspired you to write a book on it?
Well, the first time we heard about it was up in the town of Waimea in the islands of the Big Island of Hawaii. There's a statue in the parking lot of a little shopping center, a statue of a cowboy roping a steer. And that's not really something you expect to come across in Hawaii, you know, the land of beaches and palm trees and surfers. So, of course, we looked a little closer. There's a little plaque on it that gives just a couple sentences about the story. And, you know, as nonfiction writers, that just set off the radar. You know, there's got to be more to this story than just that. So we started digging, and the more we started digging, the more there was to the story.
Sure. Now, most people, of course, don't associate cowboy culture with Hawaii, but I understand cattle culture in Hawaii dates back to the turn of the 18th century, and that's earlier than that of the Great Plains. So tell us about how ranching and cattle roping began in the islands.
Well, the first cows were brought in the very tail end of the 18th century by English explorers. They were just a gift to the Hawaiian kings. But pretty soon, these animals they multiplied like crazy. And at one point, there was, you know, tens of thousands of these animals running wild through the forests and jungles and garden plots and towns of Hawaii. You know, and these were longhorns from New Spain, from what's now Mexico. So, you know, they had these wicked 6-foot-wide horns, and they were digging up gardens, they were killing people. So pretty soon the Hawaiians realized that, you know, we got to figure out how to take care of these animals, what to do. So they brought in some Mexican vaqueros from New Spain to teach them the skills of wrangling cows. So pretty soon, and they took to it like it was second nature, and pretty soon there was this thriving culture of Hawaiian cowboys who they call Paniola.
Aha. Now, as you show so vividly in the book, the city of Cheyenne, Wyoming was a key element of the Wild West and the American frontier. What can you tell us about the birth, boom, and eventual bust of Cheyenne as a hub for cowboy culture?
So Cheyenne was originally one of these dusty little towns that sprang up along the Transcontinental Railroad in the mid-19th century. But it also had a pretty unique combination of acres and acres of grasslands nearby that were basically free for the taking, and it had the railroad link where they could ship stuff back east. So when the big days of the cattle drive started up, bringing up these animals from Texas, you know, it's kind of the classic lonesome dove scenario where they're driving thousands of cattle. Cheyenne was one of the hubs of this huge industry. So at one point, it was actually the richest town of its size in the country. They had an opera house. They had electric streetlights in the late 19th century. But when the market collapsed soon after, the bust was just as fast as the rise. So the city fathers looked around. They saw everything was kind of fading and crumbling. They said, you know what? We need something else in this city. One of the guys said, you know, we don't raise anything in Cheyenne except hell. So they thought, you know, we've got cowboys, so let's start a rodeo.
Now, here in the Prescott area, we celebrate our own Frontier Days every year. You say in the book that, quote, from its inception, Frontier Days deliberately tapped into the sentiment that something special was disappearing. What was that special something? And the festival is still celebrated today, but how has it evolved since then?
Well, today the Frontier Days is still a huge event. It's one of the biggest rodeos in the country. It goes on for over a week. If you ever have a chance to go, I would highly recommend it. But back at the turn of the 20th century, it was a really interesting time in the history of the American West, because the frontier was over. The days of the big cattle drives were past. The modern times were coming. You know, they had cars had just been invented, airplanes had just been invented, motion pictures. It was a huge time of change. So people were looking around, and they were conscious of this. The Wild West culture was fading, and they didn't want that to happen. So they actually made this choice where, you know, we're going to try and preserve this in these cultural exhibits and rodeos. So it was basically a time of transition from the reality of the West to the mythology of the West, to the John Wayne version of things. And it was a really deliberate choice.
Now, one of the keystones in your book is what happens in 1908 when Eben Lowe, one of Hawaii's most famous Paniolo, visits Cheyenne Frontier Days as an observer. Describe for us what Eben experienced there and how it set in motion the events of the following year.
So Evan Lowe is one of the best Paniolo in Hawaii, even after he lost one of his hands in a roping accident.
Ooh.
And he was also a real impresario. He was always looking for the next thing to promote. He was kind of a born promoter. So when he visited the United States in 1907, traveling around the country, he even stopped by the White House, said hi to Teddy Roosevelt, as you could do at the time. And his travels ended up taking him to Cheyenne, where he was watching the best local talent from Wyoming and Colorado and Arizona compete in these events. And he was impressed, but he was also thinking, you know what? I bet my cousins back home could beat these guys. So one thing led to another, and three of the best Paniolo in Hawaii came 4,000 miles from the island to compete in Cheyenne.
I understand that Evan Lowe also met with President Roosevelt?
Yeah, he was something you could just do back then. You could just, you know, knock on the door of the White House, say, I'm here to meet Teddy. And, you know, Teddy Roosevelt was already known as kind of the cowboy president.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big part of his past. He had even been to Frontier Days a few years earlier. So he kind of gave the stamp of legitimacy in a way to this rodeo. They said, oh, the president comes by. You know, this is the real thing. And Buffalo Bill, speaking of famous people, Buffalo mm-hmm. Bill was also involved. He was probably the most famous person on the planet at the time. He had this big traveling Wild West show with hundreds of people, Native Americans, Buffalo. He took it to Europe. He was the first big international superstar at the time. So he also swung by Cheyenne. And so it was a combination of some famous people and unknown cowboys that made this story fascinating to us.
The name of the book is Aloha Rodeo, Three Hawaiian Cowboys, the World's Greatest Rodeo, and a Hidden History of the American West by Julian Smith and David Woolman. How can our listeners get a copy of Aloha Rodeo and learn more about you?
I'd suggest going to your local bookstore, and if they don't have it, ask them to order some copies, but otherwise, pretty much wherever books are sold.
And we thank you for joining us today on Q&A. Continued success in your publishing.
Thanks for having me.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Bee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Provide value. That's what a CPA can do for you. Hi, this is David A. Snyder, CPA. Now is a great time of year for business valuations. Valuations are for providing a value for your business so you can retire from it, sell it, or expand it. With my ex-military, task-oriented mindset, and over 20 years of experience, you can trust that you can get the most accurate business valuation. Give me a call or visit DavidASnyderCPA.com for more information. You deserve the sharpest in Arizona. David A. Snyder, CPA.
The world's oldest rodeo began in 1888 and is still going strong today. Prescott Frontier Days is nearing the 132nd annual event in Prescott, Arizona. This traditional rodeo is packed with action, history, memories from generations, and is sure to be another year of great excitement at the Prescott Rodeo Grounds. Join us from July 1st through July 7th for world-class rodeo, as well as many family-friendly events taking place throughout the week. The support from the community is always terrific, and we couldn't do it without our sponsors who support us year after year. Empire Machinery, proud sponsor of the world's oldest rodeo. Empire Caterpillars provide rentals, sales, parts, and service. Great machines, great people, great service. Tickets and info are available at worldsoldestrodeo.com or by calling 928-445-4320. Presented by Coors.
You're listening
listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQNA. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Long security lines, delayed flights, tons of downtime. Well, welcome back to Q&A, and do those remind you of some of your trips? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever met someone at the airport? Well, I'm talking now to David Bell, the author of the fast-paced thriller about a man who meets a beautiful woman in an airport, shares a drink and a kiss with her, and then after she abruptly departs, learns she's a missing person. So, David Bell, give us a brief description. Besides that, how would you describe Layover?
Yeah, Layover is a thriller, and it's meant to have you turning the pages late into the night. And you described the setup perfectly. Our main character, Joshua, is a regular guy. He has a good job, and he travels all the time for his job. So he's always in planes, he's always in airports, he's always in hotels, and he feels like his life is just passing him by. And he goes to all these places, and he does all these things, but he never connects with anyone until this day at the beginning of the book when he meets Morgan in the Atlanta airport, and they talk and they connect and they share that drink and that kiss. And for the first time in a long time, Joshua feels like he's made a real connection with somebody. So after Morgan has gone to her flight and he has learned that she's a missing person, Joshua now has to make the choice. Do I get more involved in finding out what's going on with her, or do I just put my head down and go back to my regular life where I'm not as happy as I want to be?
But writers can't put their head down, because the one thing all writers do in public is observe, right?
Exactly. So wherever a writer goes, you're looking for story ideas. And that's how I got the idea for Layover. I was sitting in the Nashville airport waiting for a plane, and I was sitting in one of those bars, just like in the book, and I saw a couple across the way from me, a man and a woman, and they were having this really intense conversation, and they looked to me like they knew each other really well, that they were deep into a relationship, and they were sharing their most intimate thoughts. All of a sudden, the woman got up and she kissed the man and she grabbed her bags and she kind of rushed off down the concourse, and the guy was left sitting there at the bar looking very puzzled and confused by what had just happened to him. And I heard him say to the bartender, "That's the strangest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I just met that woman and we started talking and we had a drink and then she kissed me and now she's gone." And as a writer, I thought to myself, there is story gold there. Mm-hmm. There's got to be something more to this interaction between these two people, and that's where the book came from.
Now, this is a question I ask all writers, especially novelists. When you're talking about Morgan in this book, the woman, she's full of mystery and secrets. So I have to ask you, at what point in writing Layover did these plot lines and these stories and these characters start writing themselves and you had to keep up?
Well, I always start with a detailed outline of the book, but you're absolutely right that along the way, things always happen that surprise me. Mm-hmm. I think I know where the story's going, and I think I know what the characters are doing, but then out of the blue, something weird will happen. Out of the blue, one of the characters will do something unexpected, and then I just follow that path. Mm-hmm. And my thinking is, if I am writing the book, and I'm surprised by what's happening, then chances are the reader is going to be surprised by what's happening. So in a way, I'm kind of the first reader of the book as I'm writing the book.
Now, Layover is your ninth novel, and Cemetery Girl was your first book. What has changed in your writing process? Is it harder, easier? What have you learned?
Well, I mean, it's a mixed bag. I mean, I do feel like I've gotten more confident, of course, and I know what I'm doing more and more. And I think I write a slicker, leaner thriller that moves faster. The problem is, the more books you write, the more thrillers you write like this, the more ideas you use up. So the next time you're writing a book and you're thinking, well, I need this person to have a secret or I need this person to do something bad, I've already used a lot of things in previous books, so my editor will come along and say, oh, you know, you can't have somebody steal this thing because they stole something two books ago or whatever. So that's the challenge, is constantly coming up with new ideas and new ways for things to do mysterious, illegal, complicated things that make for an entertaining book.
So you're a professor of English and creative writing. Does working in that profession affect how you write psychological thrillers?
Well, I mean, because my day job is about writing, I spend, even when I'm at work, I'm thinking about writing and stories. And so it helps me feel like even when I'm at my day job and I'm away from writing my book, I'm still thinking about writing and learning about writing from working with my students. So to me, that's the benefit I get out of the job, is that my mind is always full of stories and thinking of new ways to tell stories. So that keeps me going.
Our listeners who are flying out of town for summer weekends or holidays, we hope they'll take layover with them on their flight. How can our listeners learn more about you and get a copy of your book, Layover?
Well, they can find me at my website, which is davidbellnovels.com, and I'm on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and those are all David Bell Novels as well. And the book is going to be for sale pretty much everywhere, online bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Target, Walmart, and it is going to be sold in airport bookstores. So if they get to the airport and they think, I forgot something, I need a book to read, they should be able to find a copy of Layover and then bring it with them on their trip.
And we thank you so much for joining us today on Q&A. Continued success in your publishing.
Thank you, DJ. I appreciate it.
It's important to you to stay connected with what's going on in our community, particularly when it comes to your health and the health of your loved ones. You need to stay on top of the latest in local and regional healthcare news. Your preferred healthcare media destination here in the Quad Cities is YRMCHealthConnect.org, Yavapai County's premier healthcare blog, created and managed by Yavapai Regional Medical Center. It offers one-stop, first-run access to information that's important to you, what's going on in our healthcare community. YRMCHealthConnect.org offers a wealth of articles and videos covering topics such as new local healthcare providers, the latest healthcare services in our community, and local and regional healthcare news and information. A few clicks to subscribe and you'll be notified on your computer, smartphone, tablet, or other preferred device when there's new content. Stay connected with YRMCHealthConnect.org.
Thank you for calling Patriot Disposal. This is Jim. How may I help you?
Jim, I don't use your service. I have another company, and I just got my trash bill today, and oh, I'm so hopping mad. Do you charge a monthly regulatory fee?
No.
Administrative?
No.
Environmental?
No. In fact, with our own SmartStream Recycle technology, our recycle service at Patriot Disposal is free.
Free recycling? No monthly fees? Okay, Jim, sign me up with Patriot Disposal.
Patriot Disposal, 775-9000 or 203-9995.
Arizona Diamondbacks Baseball is live on KQ&A. Diamondbacks Baseball brought to you by Patriot Disposal, Prescott Dirt, You Pick It, Yavapai Bottle Gas, Prescott Valley Heating and Cooling, Waters Garden Center, Primavera Online School, Affinity RV, Bradshaw Family Dental, The Office Cantina, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, Cliff Castle Casino, House Chilson, and National Bank of Arizona. The Diamondbacks visit the LA Dodgers Wednesday at 7 on AM 1130, 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood KQ&A.
Take me out to the ball game.
I'm Dr. Brian Skilperert, a board-certified surgeon with over 30 years of vascular surgical experience. I'm an Arizona native, and I have been serving the Prescott community since 1997. Give me a call at 1-800-VEIN-DOC so that I can create a treatment plan just for you. That's 1-800-VEIN-DOC.
No need to be embarrassed to show your legs because of varicose or spider veins. Dr. Brian Skilperert of Northern Arizona Vein Center in Prescott is skilled in minimally invasive techniques for the treatment of your veins, covered by many insurance plans, including Medicare.
You're listening
listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A. There's a new book out called Man Fast by Natasha Scripture. And yes, the title is exactly what you think, because despite the pressures from her wonderful but overbearing Indian mother to find a man and settle down, Natasha Scripture was not ready to get married. Recognizing her privileged upbringing, she wanted to connect with people and the world in a whole new way. So, fed up with her demanding career and the pressure to settle down and find a man, Natasha decided to go on a man fast. So I have to ask you, Natasha, in your new book, Man Fast, describe your spiritual journey across four continents.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I like to call the Man Fast a self-expansion project. It took place over a period of 9 months. I also call it a spiritual detox from dating. And during that time period, I set up a few adventures slash experiments, things that would help me reconnect with myself. I felt that I lost myself in the search for the so-called one, and I wanted to reconnect with myself on a deeper level and also try to live with a deeper awareness in general. I wanted to really find out what that mindfulness thing was about. So I like to call the journey an inner endeavor, a period of self-inquiry, a period of reflection where I was clearing away any negativity that I was feeling, because by the time I left New York City, which was what inspired the Man Fast after dating there for a year and just having all these crazy experiences, I really wanted to kind of detox from that. So I kick it off in India, where I live at an ashram in southern India in a place called Kerala, where I was studying Ayurveda, which is a 5,000-year-old system of health and well-being, and I subjected my body to various cleanses in an effort to recalibrate myself and get more balanced. One of the other things I end up doing in the book is I work on a farm. I always wanted to get my hands dirty. I felt like really disconnected from nature when I was living in New York City. And so I work on a vineyard, actually, at Mount Etna. It was just incredible. Another thing I do in the book is I go to Tanzania and I go on a solo safari, and at the end I marry myself in Zanzibar. So that's just to give you a little bit of a taster.
Now, you work for the United Nations in New York. How much did that prepare you for seeing different levels of success and poverty around the world?
Yeah, I mean, that work was really eye-opening for me. You know, obviously I was exposed to people who lived on the margins of society, the poorest of the poor, people who'd been made homeless by natural disasters, by war, by so much. And these people actually were a real inspiration. I cannot even put into words the kind of resilience that I witnessed while I was in these catastrophes, and also just people's kindness and humanity, and just there's so many survivors out there. So, you know, when I talk about grief in my book, because there's a lot of that in my book, because I lost my father and all this stuff, I feel like that work with the UN prepared me for the grieving journey that I ended up going on.
Now, your chapters in your book, Man Fast, are tied to themes like allowing, surrendering, committing, connecting, and being. Describe those for us.
Yeah, sure. I mean, in a nutshell, like allowing was sort of me allowing myself to feel the grief that I felt. So this is the very beginning when I had lost my father and decided I wanted to take a break from pretty much everything and I leave New York. So I was allowing myself to feel the feelings that I was feeling, which sounds pretty basic, but, you know, when you're an aid worker for so long, you learn to become a little bit desensitized. Surrendering was a lot of that was in India, and I really wanted to learn how to surrender not only to my emotions, but to the fact that we don't have control over a lot in our lives, right? I had expected to be a certain place when I was in my 30s, late 30s, married with kids, and I wasn't. And I was like surrendering to the fact that my life path was different from what society expected it to be. Transcending, I spent time in, like I said, in Italy. I was working on a vineyard in Mount Etna. And a lot of that was like reconnecting with nature. That was a huge theme in the book, but in that chapter specifically. And I find there, you know, in terms of spiritual experiences, I mean, when you're in nature, you're surrounded by that kind of beauty. Nothing can compare. Nothing can help you to go deeper. So that's why I called it transcending. Connecting, a lot of that was spent in Tanzania. I mean, I was there actually in a photo assignment for the UN, but I also ended up going on a safari. And one of the big takeaways from that experience, which was so kind of eye-opening, was that we're all connected to each other, this ecosystem, animals, the planet, the environment. And I really write about that in a way that I hope is compelling. And then the final chapter is being, and I spent a lot of time practicing meditation, and I end up going on a fast for Ramadan, and I end up learning to play the sitar. I start taking sitar lessons in an effort to sort of be more still in my life.
Now, one of the great things about your book is you list a few of the humorous disqualifications you use for the men you went on dates with, and you discuss whether or not there's a happy medium between settling for someone and overlooking potential red flags.
Absolutely. I mean, that list could have been, I could have gone on and on. people do enjoy the list. I mean, you know, going out with a guy who snorts coke between courses, or who wears a tooth around his neck, or, you know, says he wants a Range Rover full of children. You know, those were like one-time dates. But it's true that I probably had a list of qualifications that was unwieldy. And in the end, I just, you know, think it's just important to have someone who's kind. It really is simpler than we make it out to be.
And tell me about the influence of your mother's Indian culture on you.
Yeah, I mean, that goes pretty deep because, you know, I grew up going to India, and then I grew up watching Bollywood and Hollywood movies. It is pretty deep, but she also is very unconventional in the sense that she married my dad, who was American, so that was, you know, kind of different, right? And her parents wanted her to marry someone who was Indian, so she kind of broke the mold there, but she, you know, she wanted me to meet someone and have a companion. Now that I'm becoming a mom, I'm like, I do understand that myself. Like, you want your child to see, you have somebody who looks out for them, right? So it's only natural, but, you know, there is a fixation on marriage in India and in other cultures, but I mean, I think that, you know, a woman is considered often, maybe not a second-class citizen, but, you know, incomplete if she's not married.
Sure.
Like, you know, you got to marry her off, right? So, but she's mellowed out, and now I'm engaged, so it doesn't matter.
Good for you. Congratulations. You know, in going over your book, I'm reminded of the old newspaper columnist Ann Landers, who used to get letters from people saying, why can't I find Mr. Right? Why won't he bring me flowers? And Ann Landers said, rather than wait from flowers from Mr. Right, plant and cultivate your own garden.
Absolutely. I mean, that's lesson numero uno, self-love, right? You be the person that you're looking for, right? At the end of the book, I have this real realization, and it sounds kind of cliche here, but it's like, I am the one I've been waiting for. Like, I keep looking for someone outside myself to make me happy, but it's like, no, it's me. It's so basic, but you kind of have to really think and feel it through to really embody that. But it's important. It's great advice.
And I know our listeners want to learn more about you and get a copy of Manfast. How can they do that?
Absolutely. Well, Manfast is now available on Amazon, so they can buy a copy there. If they want to find out more about me, they can go to my website, which is www.natashascripture.com. I'm also on Instagram at @natashascripture and on Twitter at @natscript.
And we thank you for joining us on Q&A. Continued success in your publishing.
Thank you so much for having me.
James Roush here of Wallach & Volk Mortgage. Are you interested in buying a home and just have a million questions running through your head? The James Roush team at Wallach & Volk Mortgage is here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by appointment. Even if you need to meet on Saturday morning because of your work schedule, we'll be there. Call the James Roush team at 445-8730, Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LNS number 162209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Fresca Living Magazine, the voice of the community. The summer 2019 issue is now available. Pick up your copy today and see who won the cover photo contest and read all about tourism and recreation in Prescott. The issue features an interview with Jim and Linda Lee, the new fashion section, and so much more. To find out more, like them on Facebook at facebook.com/Prescott Living Magazine or visit PrescottLivingMag.com. It's about local. Come see what Prescott Living is all about. Prescott Living Magazine.
the 4th of July. Time for barbecue, family, and flying the flag. And the 4th of July weekend event at Findlay Subaru Prescott. Findlay Subaru Prescott respects your time and your freedom of choice where you can buy. So we guide you through discovering your perfect Outback, not pressure you with sleazy tactics. We want you to have an experience you will gladly tell your friends and family about. Right now, get a new 2019 Outback as low as $26,921. That's over $1,800 off MSRP. We have access to over 1,000 Outbacks, so we can find the exact model you want. Come take a test drive, buy a Subaru, and don't get stuck in something else. Findlay Subaru Prescott will also donate a portion of each sale to the Launchpad Teen Center in Prescott. The 4th of July weekend event at Findlay Subaru Prescott and FindlaySubaruPrescott.com. Doing our part every day to give back to the community and make the world a better place.
Offers AOC excludes government and 495 dealer fees. Stock S43049. See dealer for details.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the 4th of July sale at Ace. Right now, buy one, get one 50% off on gallons of our top paint brands like Valspar, Clark & Kensington, and Magnolia Home Paint. And with our Ace Extra Mile promise, we'll help you get everything you need to paint in one trip or deliveries free. Don't miss the 4th of July sale at Ace. Buy one, get one 50% off our top paint brands. Now through Monday. Limit 2. Delivery subject to availability. Visit acehardware.com for details.
Ever wanted to speak another language? Babbel can get you confidently speaking Spanish, French, or German within weeks.
I just started learning Spanish with Babbel, and it's really helping my pronunciation.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas? Ha! Got it. I wish I'd tried Babbel sooner.
See why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language. Go to Babbel.com to select your language. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com, or download the app to try for free.
We're KQ&A.
Thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A your choice for your Wednesday the 3rd. I'm DJ Phone with a check of local and state news and weather together. Brought to you by Wallach and Volk. A Chino Valley man has died in what appears to be an accidental shooting.
The accident occurred at around 3:30 Sunday afternoon on a forest road off Highway 89 outside Paulden.
Deputies learned that 25-year-old Angel Perez of Chino Valley had been shot, while 25-year-old Jose Cruz from Chino Valley was handling a rifle following target practice. Cruz began first aid. Unfortunately, Perez died at the scene.
Yavapai County Sheriff's Office spokesman Dwight Dievlin says Cruz told deputies he had placed his rifle on a table they were using to store weapons.
Cruz took his AR-15 rifle he believed was unloaded and laid it on the tailgate of the truck they drove to the shooting location. He returned to the truck tailgate intending to place the rifle in its case and grabbed the rifle by the empty magazine well.
At this time, Perez was walking toward the tailgate when the rifle went off and a round struck Perez in the midsection. Cruz hasn't been arrested and the incident remains under investigation. I'm Link Elliott reporting.
Sunny, breezy, very warm, extreme fire danger conditions for your holiday and weekend, with highs today through Sunday in the upper 80s in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt, cooling after bedtime to about 58 with clear skies. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, up to a breezy 102 today, 98 tomorrow and Friday, 101 Saturday, with a late night low near 61. This news and weather, a service of Wallach and Volk. I'm DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, KQNA. And listen live worldwide at kqna.com and stay tuned. Q&A will continue in just a moment.
At Kachina Animal Hospital, they know your pet is like family. And as with any family member, your pet deserves the finest possible health care. So at Kachina Animal Hospital, they've set their standards very high. They have a compassionate, friendly, and experienced support team, as well as highly qualified doctors and technicians to treat your dogs, cats, and pocket pets. For more information or to schedule an appointment for your best pal, give them a call at 772-8225. That's 772-8225. Or online at KachinaAnimalHospital.com.
How can you save hundreds of dollars right now?
By having Findlay Toyota Prescott pay your city sales tax on any new Toyota.
Buy any new Toyota through the end of July, and Findlay Toyota Prescott will pay your city sales tax.
No conditions.
Everyone qualifies.
Stop in and register to win an amazing $4,000 dream vacation.
No purchase necessary.
A four-night Ireland getaway for two, including resort and airfare.
Or a five-night Disney Caribbean cruise for four, including airfare to the port.
Or a six-night Atlantis Bahamas getaway for two, including including airfare.
Browse our full inventory at FinleyToyotaPrescott.com. Then come in for a test drive.
When you take the keys, we'll take care of paying your city sales tax.
And get you registered to win an amazing dream vacation.
Is this incredible or what?
Drawing to be held July 31st.
Thank you for making Finley Toyota Prescott the Daily Courier's back-to-back top dealership 2 years in a row.
Hi, I'm Jamal McCoy. We are everybody's hometown dealer.
On approved credit plus tax, title, license, and $4.95 dock fees.
Well, it's back, bigger and better than ever. It's a second annual cornhole tournament located at Finley Toyota Center. Come out for cornhole, food, drinks, and heated competition presented by RED Plumbing for Prescott Area Habitat for Humanity. Entry fee is $250 per team, and it's double elimination. RSVP to RED Plumbing by July 10th. Trophies will be awarded for first and third. Stop by and check out the amazing opportunity to show off your skills and help out a great organization on August 10th. It's the second annual cornhole tournament presented by RED Plumbing for Prescott Area Habitat for Humanity.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A. The book Small Fry was a top 10 book of the year by the New York Times, People Magazine, and the San Francisco Chronicle, a best book of the year by the LA Times, NPR, GQ, and Publishers Weekly. It's written by Lisa Brennan Jobs. It's her poignant story of childhood and growing up. Scrappy, wise, and funny young Lisa is an unforgettable guide, marveling at the particular magic of growing up in a family with the father, Steve Jobs, the Apple co-founder, and her mother, artist Chris Ann Brennan. I have to ask you, Lisa, why you wrote a coming-of-age story and not just a tell-all about your very, very famous father.
I just honestly would not have known how to write a tell-all. I didn't know it all. If I had known it all, no, I'm joking. I am a writer, and so I wanted to write a literary memoir. And honestly, I was kind of devastated to be wanting to write a memoir when I had a celebrity father. Mm-hmm. I mean, how mortifying, right? Because I'm not a tell-all writer or a celebrity memoir writer. And so here I was feeling the need very strongly to understand my own past and to translate it into story and to create something meaningful. And yet I was in this interesting position of having this celebrity father. And so needing to both do it but not do it. You know, write a memoir but not the kind that people might expect.
What I like a lot about your book, too, is you're writing from a dual perspective because you're looking at your childhood through two lenses, one through a child's eye, but then with the wisdom and experience of an adult. Explain that difference.
I think that a lot of memoirs that are meaningful have this double layering. You get to go back and remember yourself from the child's perspective and remember what you were thinking then, but you have this incredible gift of the adult's perspective and knowledge that you can apply to the sometimes, you know, naive, ashamed, foolish perspective of, and sweet perspective that you had as a girl. And that combination, it's kind of meaningful. And I think it's also relatable. So other people who read the story can, I've found that they can see themselves in my childhood often. And that's been a nice surprise. I think people sometimes pick it up thinking that they're going to get a celebrity story. And in fact, they find their own thoughts and their own childhood and their own and meaning for themselves on the pages.
Now, one of the great things, too, about the book Small Fry is you recreate in those pages California in the 1970s and 80s, the Bay Area in the post-hippie heyday, and the pre-tech boom. What can you tell us about the Bay Area in that time?
It was very different. It's a nice place to live. It's a nice place to spend time. I was writing the book from a converted closet in Brooklyn, and it was so wonderful to get to spend days in the sort of limpid air and golden sunlight of California from sort of snowy Brooklyn. And I think that it was different. I mean, when I was growing up, I had never seen a woman wearing high heels. And now I think the Bay Area is very different. It's filled with much more money and and it's more of a monoculture, I think, in some ways than it was. And it's more, I guess it's maybe even more about money now, I've heard, which money tends to be kind of boring compared to ideas or curiosity. So I may have glorified the California of my past, but there was something nice to go back and live there in that place that was more a sort of quiet, quiet university town on the cusp of a lot of interesting things.
We have a lot of older people here in northern Arizona who write their own memoirs. You spoke with a lot of people from your past, including your parents' exes. You read old journals. You revisited your old apartments and your old towns. How did that affect what you wrote?
I think it's very important. It turned out to be very important to talk with people and to sort of reconstruct timelines. The other thing about my father being a public figure is that there were certain events that I remember that are publicly known, and so I could chart them on a timeline. And I could remember the houses we lived, the house we lived at then during that, and then I could remember the house before and after. So I had to, and I went around to the houses in Palo Alto and the Bay Area where we had lived. And I think that memory and emotion are sort of sandwiched in layers inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get at the facts, you have to go through the emotions, and then you get a whole new slew of facts, like, oh, this date, this place, this event. And then perhaps in order to get to more facts, you have to go through more emotions. You remember feeling something about this event, and that leads you to another fact. And so that process of intermittent fact and emotion meant things took a fair amount of time to unearth. But I found that the process was meaningful and worth it, and it yielded a lot of revelations that I would not have otherwise had.
And also becoming a mother yourself, that shifted your perspective, didn't it?
Well, it certainly made me exhausted all the time. I don't know if you're a parent, but it's a lot.
Have you caught up on your sleep yet?
No, I mean, he has been alive for 14 months. He's been for 14 months on this planet, and yet I am still quite sleepy.
Oh.
I have loved it so much. It has been so incredible, so much joy. And I'm really glad I wrote the book or finished the book before him, because I look at him sometimes and I think I sort of panic thinking I haven't finished the book, and I think I did it, because there is no way at this early stages of his life I could work as hard as I worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I could waste as much time even, because it takes a lot of time that doesn't have a direct use writing a book. Whereas, you know, I would write scenes, I would write whole stories, I would write whole episodes that aren't in the final book. Whereas with my son, every bit of energy I put into him feels well spent.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's changed my perspective so much on my parents. Having done the book, I had grown so much compassion and so much delight and remembered so much about them that in some ways it just feels like knowing them better has added more delight to being a parent. It doesn't feel like it was a ton of bricks, realizing how hard they had it. It just felt like, oh, okay, now it's my turn. Now it's my turn. It feels nice to have the past be a little bit more categorized and known before I had him.
The name of the book is Small Fry. It's now in paperback by Lisa Brennan Jobs. Lisa, how can our readers, our listeners, learn more about you and get a copy of Small Fry?
They can look on my website, which is lisabrennanjobs.net, or my publisher's website, Grove Atlantic. And I really hope they enjoy it if they read it.
And we also recommend our local bookstores. We thank you for joining us today on Q&A. Continued success in your publishing.
Thank you so much.
Provide value. That's what a CPA can do for you. Hi, this is David A. Snyder, CPA. Now is a great time of year for business valuations. Valuations are for providing a value for your business so you can retire from it, sell it, or expand it. With my ex-military, task-oriented mindset, and over 20 years of experience, you can trust that you can get the most accurate business valuation. Give me a call or visit DavidASnyderCPA.com for more information. You deserve the sharpest in Arizona. David A. Snyder, CPA.
Take advantage of your golden years. These are the times to reflect, relax, have a lot of fun. Country Bank's Home Equity Conversion Mortgage, known as a reverse mortgage, could be your supplemental option. Suzanne Cosley, the reverse mortgage specialist at Country Bank, can show you how to convert a portion of your home equity into tax-free money.
Come by and see me, Suzanne Cosley at Country Bank, or call me at 928-583-9015.
Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Bee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Well, I hope you enjoyed those chats with those four very recently published best-selling authors. A lot of fun talking to them, and those are books you may want to take along on your 4th of July weekend or your summer vacation. You know, there's a comedy tour starting this weekend in the New York area. They plan on going nationwide. Can you imagine? A stand-up comedy show featuring both Roseanne Barr and Andrew Dice Clay. It's called Mr. and Mrs. America, and they are touring the country starting this weekend. Well, the longtime chairman of Chrysler Corporation, Lee Iacocca, who started his career with Ford and helped to invent the Ford Mustang, then moved on to rescue Chrysler, he has died at age 94. If you have trouble spelling Iacocca, just think of this acronym. I am chairman of Chrysler Corporation America, and that will spell it out for you. Also saddened to learn of the death at age 90 of comic Artie Johnson. He was known for those popular recurring characters on the old Roan and Martin's Laugh-In. He was the German soldier who would peek through the weeds and utter, "Very interesting, but stupid." He was the old man in the yellow raincoat riding a tricycle in circles until he always fell over. And he was the old man on the park bench with Ruth Buzzy, uttering things to her like, "Do you believe in the hereafter?" "Why, yes, of course." "Well, then you know what I'm here after." And then she'd smack him with her purse, of course. Well, Artie Johnson died today. He is 90 years old. Well, you know, there's a movie, a great movie, that'll remind you so much of Prescott in 1972. It's playing tonight at 7 o'clock at the Prescott Elks Theater. It's called Junior Bonner. It stars the late, great Steve McQueen, Robert Preston, Ida Lupino, the old cowboy Ben Johnson. Just a terrific movie, and there's a great big mural of it, in case you've never seen it, in the Palace Saloon, where some scenes were filmed. Well, in the course of making Junior Bonner, a few tidbits and trivia stand out. If you're going to see the movie tonight, first of all, let's go over the plot. The plot of Junior Bonner is you're spending a week with Junior Bonner. He's a rodeo pro on the wrong side of 40. He's broke, bruised, headed into Prescott, his hometown, for the annual 4th of July Frontier Days. His dad, Ace Bonner, is a dissolute dreamer fixed on finding gold in Australia. His mom is resigned to Ace's roving. His brother, Curly, is tearing up the countryside to make a million in real estate. Junior just wants to stay on a bucking Brahma for 8 seconds, hang on with Ace, find a way to spend time with a beautiful woman whose eyes catch his, and earn enough to get to next week's rodeo. As the Old West and its code give way to progress, remember this is 1972, Junior is lonesome, laconic, and on the road, just where he wants to be. Couple things about that movie as you watch. Look for the guy who plays Red Terwilliger. The actor's name is Bill McKinney. Now, why is that important? Well, Bill McKinney was one of those vicious hillbillies that terrified Burt Reynolds, Ned Beatty, and Ronnie Cox in Deliverance. Also, that yellow dog you'll see in the movie, that dog is the grandson to Spike, the dog from the movie Old Yeller. Robert Preston and Ida Lupino play the parents of Junior Bonner, but both are only 12 years older than Steve McQueen. According to a biography of Steve McQueen, the closest McQueen ever got to a bull was one called Docile Sunshine, who was fun and playful, even kid-friendly. McQueen was not allowed to get near Evil Sunshine, who was the meanest, craziest bull on the planet. And as a prank between shots, McQueen thought it'd be funny to release Evil Sunshine into the bull ring. Well, people climbed over each other to get out, and that doggone bull destroyed an expensive 35mm camera. Gene Hackman was originally going to play the Joe Don Baker role, but McQueen wouldn't agree to his salary demands, and he vetoed the casting. Joe Don Baker and his director Sam Peckinpah reportedly didn't get along well while filming. Baker had this to say on Peckinpah. Quote, "I didn't care for Sam Peckinpah at all. He was one of those little guys who tries to bully big guys, and he almost got his you-know-what whip for trying to do it to me. Every time I was going to throttle him, Steve McQueen would come over and calm me down like a brother would." Now, Ida Lupino hired, who was not only a very, very successful actress in the 40s and 50s, she was one of the very first successful movie directors. Well, Ida Lupino had hired Sam Peckinpah to work on her TV series, Mr. Adams and Eve, after she found him living in a shack behind her property. Well, Peckinpah paid her back by casting her in Junior Bonner several years later. And Junior Bonner also features cast member Ben Johnson, who years later, or actually the year before, I believe, he won an Oscar for The Last Picture Show. Ben Johnson was also a rodeo performer before he went into movies. And Junior Bonner was the final movie for Mary Murphy, the actress who played the diner waitress in the Marlon Brando film The Wild Ones. In fact, it was Mary Murphy as the waitress who caught Brando wearing that leather jacket reading The Rebels and asked him, "What are you rebelling against?" And Brando snapped, "What do you got?" Little history on the making of Junior Bonner tonight at the Prescott Elks Theater at 7 p.m. Stay tuned now. Let's see. Where'd my notes go here? Stay tuned now for Ben Shapiro at 3, followed by Talk of the Town Prescott. And I will join you back here on Monday at 2 o'clock for Q&A when I will see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, Northern Arizona Vein Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce, High Country Rec V Center, and David Snyder, CPA. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.